today evening. We are continuing our discussion on the theme of from misunderstanding to understanding. We'll start this discussion now. We'll continue this in the Sunday feast class from 6:30 onwards. So, one cause of misunderstanding which we discussed yesterday was, that we judge others without understanding. Another cause of misunderstanding often is that we, based on some thought or some perception that passes through our mind, we speak some words which directly hurt others. And we don't actually mean those words. They just come out under the pressure of the moment. And then, how the other person responds to those words, that determines what will happen in that relationship. So there are sometimes words we speak in tension. It's because we are too much under pressure. Under the pressure, the heat of the moment, in tension we speak some words. But what is spoken in tension does not reflect intention. It is not intentional. It is not. We are all under the pressure of the moment, sometimes speak and do things which shouldn't be taken too seriously. This is from the understanding from the point of view of a person who has been hurt. Generally, disagreements can happen from two ways. One is, one person judges the other person wrong. The other is, the person who judges wrongly holds a grudge and is not ready to excuse the other person. So, this is seen an incident from the Ramayana in the Aranyakanda. So Ram and Sita go to the forest along with Lakshmi. The initial part of the forest, they stay in they live in Chitrakoot, which is not very far from Ayodhya. And then they come deeper into the hinterland of India. They come to Nasik, where the Dandakavan. There's a forest called Dandakavan. So in the Nam Narayan, in the Nam Ramayana, there are various pastimes of Lord Ram which are described using his, with his name added to it. Dandaka, Vanajana, Pavana, Rama. So Lord Ram came to Dandakavan. And this forest was known to be populated by demons. And while he was living there, at that time, Shurpanakha came to, she initially came to devour the humans whose flesh she had sensed. But when she saw that Ram looked so attractive, so handsome, her desire changed. And she tried to allure Ram. When that did not happen, she attacked Sita. But she thought Sita is the person because of whom Ram is not coming to be. Then Ram instructed Lakshmana to punish Shurpanakha. The Shurpanakha went back and she tried to avenge what happened to her through Karadushan, brothers. But Ram single-handedly killed Karadushan and their entire army of 14,000 soldiers. Then Shurpanakha went to Ram and she incited Ram. And then when Ravana was incited on hearing the description of the beauty of Sita, he conspired with Maricha. And Maricha took on the form of a deer. At this point, this was almost like Ram had been exiled for 14 years to the forest. The idea was, Kaikeyi had thought that 14 years is enough time during which Bharat can rule well, and by ruling well, Bharat can win over the citizens. So even if Ram comes back after 14 years, because Bharat will have won over the citizens, then Ram won't be a threat. That's why she has stipulated this period of 14 years. Because when Dashrath heard Kaikeyi's demands, she wanted Bharat to be the king. So, and she wanted Ram to be exiled. Dashrath did ask Dashrath, if you want Bharat to be the king, I will make him the king. But But what is Ram's fault? How can I send him to the forest for no fault of his? Don't ask for this. So, Kaikeyi had been completely manipulated by Mantara. And Mantara had told her that this is what the king will say. Dashrath will say, don't send that. I will make Bharat the king, but don't send Ram to the forest. Mantara had told her, don't agree to this. Because if Ram is in the kingdom, Bharat will never agree to become a king. And even if Bharat becomes the king, people will not accept. Because they will see a more worthy alternative there, and they will not be able to accept Bharat's authority. You have to send him to the forest. So by this time, almost 13 years of the forest exile had passed, nearly 13. And already Ram, Lakshman, Sita, they are planning on going back home. Although they had accepted with fortitude this forest exile, so they long to go back home, not just for the luxuries of the palace life, but also to meet their aunts, to meet their mothers, and to meet all the other loving citizens of Ayodhya. And Sita, she was thinking that when I go back to the king forest, when I go back to the forest to the kingdom, I should give some gift. And what gift can I give? If she had been in the kingdom, she could have given a gift of some jewel, necklace, something like that. From the forest, what gift can I give? We take some flowers, some fruit, they're not going to last for long. So when she saw this beautiful deer, she thought, oh, this deer is so nice. And for the next year, while I'm here, I can have this deer as a pet. And after that, I can take this deer back and I can give this as a gift to Kaikeyi. To Kaushalya, our mother-in-law. So she started saying this, oh, this deer. Now this deer, it was extraordinarily beautiful. That the forest is filled with many exotic delights, which people who live in cities are often not aware of. Of course, forests are not to be romanticized, because there are many dangers in the forest also. But there are many beautiful sights in this forest, and this was an extraordinary beautiful sight. And Sita's heart was charmed. She said, please get this deer for me. I would like to have this as a pet and as a gift. Now Ram, his appreciation for Sita had increased more and more during the forest. Because first of all, Sita had not been obliged to come to the forest. Now Ram, it was Ram who had been exiled. It was Ram who was a threat to Kaikeyi when she wanted her son to become the king. Sita was not a threat. So she had, even Kaikeyi had actually not expected Sita to go to the forest. So the Ramayana actually describes both ways. Now there is, in the same story, we see that Kaikeyi, she goes against her husband. But in the same story, we have Sita who goes with her husband. So the human nature can work in different ways at different situations. And Sita goes to actually Ram has fully planned that he will go to the forest, and he actually gives a discourse to Sita about how she should conduct herself, why she is in the kingdom. And among the many interesting things he tells her, one of the things he says is that when you are in the kingdom, never praise me in the presence of Bharat. Says when Bharat is the king, he deserves respect. He deserves glory. In his presence, you should not praise me. Naturally, you will think of me, you will appreciate me, but when you are in his presence, you should praise him. And he gives a general analysis. This doesn't apply specifically to Bharat. He says that men are proud and envious. So in their presence, if someone who is the equal of their competitor is glorified, they become angry. He's not saying this about Bharat specifically.
but it's giving a general principle.
Generally, when we meet someone, it is that a normal part of etiquette is we speak some words of appreciation, some kind words, some encouraging words. So if they're senior, we have some words of praise. So the idea is, Ram actually is fully mentally prepared, thinking that Sita will be staying in the field. And Sita says, what are you speaking? You know, I'm going to come with you. Actually, they have almost a strong argument over there. Sita says, no, I'm going to come. Ram says, you cannot come. You will not be able to survive in the forest. And then, Sita, she's so determined. Sometimes it's a difficult service which we actually don't want to do, but out of courtesy, we say, yes, I'll do it if you want. And we're hoping that, no, you don't do it, I'll do it. Like, we just say for name's sake, yes, I'll do it. But in our office, says, no, I don't want to do it. I hope you don't ask me to do it. Sometimes it's like that. Sita is not like that. Sita is insistent, I want to come with you. And when Ram is not relenting, she uses the last weapon at her command. She attacks Ram's masculinity. She says, it is so unfortunate that I am married to a man who cannot protect me. Because you cannot protect me, that's why you are afraid of taking me to the forest.
Now, Ram is touched by her words. He knows that she is not attacking his masculinity actually.
It's just that she says, and Ram tells her, I am simply testing you. I wanted to see your determination. If you want to come with me, it will be my joy if you come with me. So Sita has sacrificed voluntarily, you know, the comforts of royal life for being with him. And Ram actually feels grateful to her. Now, as a husband, as an exemplary, he wants to do things for her. But in the forest, he has not been able to offer anything to her.
Sometimes he gives her some flowers, some fruits,
but nothing more than that. So when she asks for this deer, he doesn't have the heart to refuse. She asks for this deer, and she says, she's never asked anything from me. Yes, surely I'll get this deer. Now, you know, whenever there are a group of people, every relationship has its dynamic. So Sita is asking Ram for this. But Lakshman is also nearby. And Lakshman is in the mood of a protector. And he says, Ram, don't go after that deer. He says, just see. Look at this deer. I've never seen a deer like this before. There's something fishy about it. If you look around the deer, a deer is a harmless animal. A deer does not have jaws, it doesn't have claws. It simply eats grass. So, other animals are not afraid of deer. But here you see, just see, as soon as this deer came, all the animals from nearby have disappeared. So something is wrong over here. Now the animals have some kind of what psychologists call a sixth sense. That they can sense some things which we humans can't sense. In many places where there are earthquakes often happen frequently. So there are researchers, seismologists, who study the movement of the seismic plates in the earth. And they try to predict earthquakes. For a long time, they have been trying to predict earthquakes, and they're not really able to predict it accurately when an earthquake is going to happen. Finally, after many decades, they have found one of the most reliable ways to predict an earthquake is to look at the behavior of animals. Just before, dogs, cats, they all start behaving in abnormal ways. So, now they have the theory that before the earthquakes, some sort of vibrations come from the earth, and the vibrations are sensed by the brain of the animals. But whatever it is, now how the animal brain has such sophistication that they can sense some vibrations which our human brain also can't sense. It's very complex to understand this. But the point is, Lakshman knows this. Lakshman says, look at all the other animals. Something is fishy over here. So Lakshman is in the mood of a protector. Now all of us, we, based on our frame of mind, our mood, we see the same thing differently. So Sita sees that deer as a pet to play with, as a gift to give. Ram sees this, oh, this deer. This is a, by offering this, I can express my love to Sita. Lakshman is in an entirely different in the mood of practice. What is this? This, you cannot carry. Don't go after it. It's, so he. So when he sees this, now Ram hears Lakshman. And looks at Sita. And then Sita says, oh Lakshman, you are very suspicious. Just see how beautiful this deer is. Now what could be the harm? And anyway, he says, even if there is something fishy about that deer, do you think that deer can harm us in any way when you are here and Ram is here? Don't worry so much. He says, Ram, please get this deer for me. And because she requests so earnestly, Ram doesn't have the heart to refuse her. The thought of what Lakshman has said is still going on in his mind. Lakshman is seething. He wants to tell Ram, don't go. But Ram is the elder brother. So he raised silently accepts. And Ram tells what Lakshman tells, I'm going to catch this deer. And you stay by Sita and you guard her. So now initially, because Sita wants that deer as a pet, so Ram has no intention of killing it. Ram's intention is to catch the deer and get it. So he runs after the deer. And as soon as the deer sees Ram coming, the deer also starts running. And at one level that is expected. So Ram keeps running. Ram is fleet-footed. But this deer is astonishing. Just one leap, giant leap, from one part of the forest to another part of the forest. Ram is stunned. How is this deer running so fast? Ram keeps running. And this deer takes Ram deep into the forest. As the deer goes deep into the forest, and suddenly, just as Ram feels as if I'm going to close on the deer and catch the deer, at that time, the deer just jumps high into the sky. And as almost as if it disappears. And then Ram is looking around, where did this deer go? And this is far ahead in the distance, as if mocking Ram, come after me, catch me. So the deer is there. Ram again, the deer chase. Now, as a warrior, he's always keeping his weapons with him. His bow and arrow are there, and strapped to his shoulder. But he doesn't want to use them. He keeps chasing, and for a long time, his Ram is led deep into the forest, far away from their cottage. And he's just closing in on the deer, and as he closes, suddenly, again, the deer disappears. And when this deer disappears, again, the deer disappears, appears far away. Now Ram realizes that what Lakshman said is true. What Lakshman said is true. If this deer cannot be an ordinary deer, this deer must be a demon. In fact, Lakshman said that actually I suspect that this deer must be a demon who is taken on the garb of a deer. Yes, to allure us, just to deceive us. So before this, because Kara and Dushar, they had attacked and they had been killed. Ram and Lakshman were on guard. Because they knew what they had tried to do was when Kara and Dushar were killed, they tried to kill everyone. Because generally, if an army, any survivor is there, the survivor will go and report. Report to the base, and then the army from there will come and seek revenge. So there was one demon, Akampan, who when Kara and Dushar started attacking, and he had also experienced general warrior, so he had stood aside just to observe. And he saw the sheer force of the attack of Ram and Lakshman, especially Ram, and he was we are no match to. And if everybody had been killed, so Akampan had fled. Just as Akampan was fleeing,
At that time, Ram had seen him. So Ram understood that now this demon is going to go and report to the other demons. So they were expecting some trouble. And they were also expecting that the demons may not attack full front, because they had also seen the power of Ram. Kharadushan had directly come to attack Ram with their full army, and Ram had annihilated them. So, having seen this, Ram and Lakshman are anticipating that next time the demons attack, they may not attack straight, because they will be fearful that we will not be able to match our strength with that of Ravana. And actually, Ravana also, when first Shurpanakha, she goes to Kharandushan, so this is Dandakava, the place where Ravana is staying, she goes to the camp of Kharandushan, and she tells them what will happen. They come and attack. And Shurpanakha is coming with her, she is thinking, you know, now this Ravana and Lakshmi will be killed, and I will have my revenge. She switches back to the original plan. The first Ram had been a lunchbox, then Ram becomes a Romeo. And then Ram refuses and he again becomes a lunchbox. She's not going to eat him now. And then she's waiting, thinking that I'll eat him. But then what happens? She finds that they kill everyone. She just goes wild with anger and frustration, doesn't know what to do. So frustration is wanders here and there, and then she remembers. I can go to Ravana. Accompany the meanwhile straight, run back to Ravana. And when Akampana reports to Ravana that Akampana is actually very fearful. Because in the past, sometimes what would happen is if a messenger would come with bad news, the king would just shoot the messenger. You are the bearer of bad news. So Akampana is very fearful. Right at the beginning, he says, okay, I am going to give you some bad news, but I am not the cause of this bad news. So please don't punish me. And then he tells what happened. Ravana is furious. He says, who has the power to kill Kharandushan? More than that, who has the audacity to do that? Even if they have the power, they know it will infuriate me and I will destroy them. So Akampana says, it is the sons of Dashrath. Ram and Lakshmi. Ram alone killed everyone. He says, okay, I feel that you should just leave them alone. Just leave them alone. Why? It's because I have seen his power. And his power is such that not even the gods can match his power. So Ravana starts thinking, this lone human has killed our entire army. Must be no, can't be an ordinary human being. And if a company is so fearful, a company is a shrewd general who can assess strengths. So Ravana decides to desist. He decides that, okay, we cannot do anything. But then Shurpanakha comes over. And Shurpanakha comes, she initially comes and says, she chastises Ravana. A king is meant to protect his citizens. But you, O king, are so lazy, so irresponsible. You have such uncontrolled senses that you are here busy watching girls dancing while your citizens are being tortured. And right in front of the warriors, in front of his whole assembly, Ravana and Sarada, he becomes furious. What do you mean? And then she tells what has happened to you. What happened to her? And then Ravana is furious. Who has abused you in this plight? Who has cut off your nose? She says, it is Ram. As soon as Ravana hears the word Ram, his anger goes down. His anger goes down. He says, now, in front of his citizens, in front of his courtiers, he cannot just turn away from Shurpanakha. So now he tries to act like a very just and fair. He says, oh Shurpanakha. He says, Ram was living in his territory. Why did you have to go and fiddle with him? It was because you went and attacked him first. That's why you are punished.
if you had not attacked him, you would not have been punished. And he tries to shift the whole blame onto her. He says, but because of you fiddling with them, you messing with them, that's why Kar and Dushyant have to lose their life. So you should have minded your own business. Shukmanka is furious. He sees her whole plan for revenge is getting lost. And she immediately spins the story around. Actually, the mind is capable of twisting the facts in a way that suits one's own interest. The facts may be something very different, but the mind can twist the facts in a way that it suits whatever it wants to be. There's a saying that in science, the theories that we like, we call them facts. The facts we don't like, we call them theories. Many of you may know the story of an anti-alcohol campaigner. He went to a group of alcoholics. And he would often give talks about how dangerous alcohol is. But he found that his talks were not very effective. So one time he said, I'll demonstrate. So he got up. During his talk, he took out a bottle of alcohol. And he had got a small fly in a box. And he took the fly, small insect, and he flipped open the bottle of alcohol, hurled it into the bottle. The insect just flapped around a little bit, and then it just sank into the ground. There. And then he looked at all the alcohol. What do you learn from this demonstration? They all looked down. It's obvious that alcohol goes into your stomach. It can kill an insect. What will happen when it goes inside the stomach? So one alcoholic was very cheerful. Eager to give the answer. He says, yes, what do you learn? He says, sir, when we drink alcohol, all the germs and worms in our stomach will die. So the idea is that human mind can actually reinterpret any set of facts in a way that will confirm its own beliefs. So here, Shurpanakha gives a completely different twist to the story. When she had gone initially just to eat human flesh. And then later on, she was attracted to Ram. And now, but she says, oh Ram, actually, I had not gone there for my own sake. The selfish person. I had gone for you. What do you mean? He says, actually, I had gone there because I saw Sita. How beautiful she is. And as soon as I saw her, I felt she would be the fitting addition to your palace. She should be your queen. I had gone there to get Sita for you. Now, there are lies and there are white lies. No, lies means at least there is some element of truth in it. White lie means there is not even a shred of truth in it. So at that time, normally when a person is selfish, when a person is self-centered, we don't think about others at all. We see something and we want for our enjoyment. We don't think about others at all. And for a self-centered person, if somebody tells them, so Shurpanakha was so self-centered, she was thinking only of her enjoyment. And so normally, Ravana is also self-centered. So normally, if a self-centered person is told, I went there to get that for you. So normally, selfish people don't think about others at all. So if they hear that somebody was thinking about me, somebody is thinking of getting something for me, they become very pleased. He said that I had gone to get Sita for you. And then he saw that Ravana's indifference was going down. And then she started using her cunning intelligence. She started describing very seductively the beauty of Sita.
And as she started describing the beauty of Sita, what happened is the desire within Ravana started inflame, started becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. And as the desire became stronger and stronger, what happened? The Bhagavata says, Dhyayato Vishayatupsa Sangasteshu Pujayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kama Krodha Pujayate Krodha Bhav Sammoha Sammoha Smriti Vikrama Smriti Brahmasha Buddhinasha Buddhinasha Vishayate. So as one starts contemplating on sensual pleasures, from that time onwards, the desire becomes stronger and stronger, and eventually one's intelligence gets destroyed. Buddhinasha, the intelligence gets destroyed. So similarly, Ravana had heard from a Kampan how powerful Rama was. Ravana had himself contemplated, if Rama can kill Karan, Dushan and the entire army, he must be formidable. Ravana also knew that he had no immunity from humans in the blessing that he had got from Brahma and Shiva. So, he knew all this, but as the desire started possessing him more and more and more, what happened was he just lost. He lost his intelligence completely. And no, in today's world, there is much part of the media which acts like Shurpankar. It is all focused on inflaming people's desires. And the whole point of that is, by inflaming people's desires, make them act in self-destructive ways. Make them act in terrible ways. So, Ravana anyway was very sensuous, very lusty. But when his desires were inflamed like that, he lost all intelligence. So actually, now at this point, if we analyze what went wrong, actually when Shurpanakha was describing the beauty of Sita in seductive terms, so Ravana, what was he thinking? He was not thinking, why is Shurpanakha doing this? He said, I want this enjoyment, I want this for myself. So if he had this thought, Shurpanakha, what is she getting out of here? What is she getting over here? She must be having some ulterior motive. Why is she describing all this to me? If you had thought, you would have understood that I am just now becoming a puppet over here. I am becoming a puppet. But you just didn't think like that. Because once the desire comes up, the desire, it just captures our capacity to think and just drags all that capacity in a particular direction. So temptations can just bring out the worst within us. So Ravana, now he realized, I'm going to go and get Sita. But then, as he was just marching ahead, again, now while implementing, Srila Prabhupada writes in one lecture that, we are meant to use our intelligence. He writes in a letter that we are meant to use our intelligence to control the enjoyment mentality. But our problem is that we are habituated to enjoying intelligently. Enjoying intelligently means that we use our intelligence not to fight the enjoyment mentality, but to think, I'll enjoy in such a way that I won't get the consequences. Somehow I can do it in a way by which nobody will catch me. I can do it and nothing will go wrong. So, he did not have the intelligence to understand, I cannot fight with Ram. I cannot win against Ram. Ram is very powerful. I am caught in danger. But when he decided to fulfill the desire, I am going to act on it. I am going to get Sita. At that time, he realized, how do I get Sita? How do I get Sita? I need to make some plan. I need to make some scheme. I don't want to face Ram at all. He had multiple reasons for this. One was, he was not sure whether he would win against Ram. Second was, he wanted to win over Sita. He wanted to win Sita over to his side. So his idea was, Ravana was such a godless person that he had no respect for the sanctity of marriage. He thought that Sita is still a fair game for him. And when eventually, and just going ahead to illustrate the point over here, that when Ram is taken, is sidetracked by Maricha, and then Lakshman also goes away, at that time Ravana comes. And when Ravana comes first, he comes in the garb of a sadhu. And then he tells who he is. And what does he do? At that time, when a boy wants to propose to a girl, what does the boy do? The boy may try to show how wealthy I am. The boy may come in a big car. He may think the girl will get impressed by this boy. And then what he'll do is, he'll praise the beauty of the girl. Oh, you're so beautiful. Compose some poetry. And I think the girl will get very impressed. Oh, he thinks I am so beautiful. And then third thing is that if he knows there are some other suitors, he just derides them. Oh, he's good for nothing. He's like this. He's like that. He's like, I am great. That's that way. So that's what Ravana does. When Ravana comes in from Sita, he thinks that I will win Sita. Because he knows that he has been cursed, that he cannot. If he tries to violate any woman, he will die. So he wants to win Sita. And he is shrewd. He thinks that if Sita has come with Ram to the forest, she must have some attachment to him. So if in front of her I fight with Ram and I kill Ram, she will be so grief-struck that she will not come with me. Therefore he thinks, let me get Ram out of the way. And then I present myself. Present myself to her, I'll show her, I'll tell her how wealthy I am, how powerful I am, how heroic I am. And then I'll tell Ram, what is Ram giving you? By being devoted in the, you are forced to live in a forest like a mendicant. You can live in a palace with me, come with me. And this, he has made his whole plan. So with this plan in mind, he goes to Maricha. When he goes to Maricha, actually, he goes to Maricha twice. The first time when Akampan comes and tells him this has happened, Akampan tells him, don't fight with him. If you want to fight, you cannot fight with him fairly. So at that time he goes to Maricha. And at that time Maricha tells him, Ram is so powerful that just by hearing the word Ram, I become fearful. Actually, Maricha, Subahu and Tataka, these were the first three demons that Ram attacks. And Maricha is the person whom Ram shoots, and Maricha just, this is his first fight, and he is in Subahu, this is right when Ram is very young, just 16 years old, when Vishwamitra comes to Dashrath Maharaj to ask for his son. So at that time he has to kill Tataka. He doesn't want to kill Tataka, but Vishwamitra says, okay. And then he has to kill Subahu. And because Ram is still soft-hearted, and on seeing Tataka and Subahu falling, he sees that Maricha becomes fearful. And Maricha turns and is about to flee. So now Ram decides, he's so fearful, if he's turning around and fleeing, I don't want to kill him. But still I want to punish him. So what Ram does is, he uses a blunt arrow. Normally an arrow pierces through the body and kills. But Ram uses a blunt arrow. And the blunt arrow does not kill, but Ram has such strength in his body, when he shoots the arrow, that blunt arrow hits Maricha and throws him far into the air. And Maricha just spins and he's running and he finds now he's flying. What happened? He found the arrow is propelling him along. And he just goes high into the air and he's scared. What is happening? And finally comes crashing on the ground. What power this Ram has? This blunt arrow can throw me so far away. If a sharp arrow comes, what will happen to him? So from that time, he just becomes so fearful. He decides, I don't want to ever have to do anything with this Ram. And he thinks that the business of being a Rakshasa is very dangerous. So I'll give up this business and I'll become a yogi. So he becomes a yogi from that time on. And when Ravana comes, when Ravana says, I want you to help me,
The first thing that Marija says is, which enemy of yours has put this idea of tangling with Ram in your head? So this will simply cause your death. Don't do this. So on hearing this, Ravana becomes sober. Marija just goes off into a fearful flow of words. Don't do this. This will cause your destruction. At that time, actually, Ravana comes back. He's angry, but at that time, Marija warns him, he comes back. But this time, when the desire for Sita has inflamed his heart, he just has no intelligence. And he tells Marija, you have to help me in this. You have to help me in kidnapping Sita. Marija is, I just told you this is the way to death. So Ravana is completely cold hearted. Sometimes people say that, you know, if we are too detached, you know, if we are detached, we will become cold hearted. But it's not necessarily like that. Sometimes it is not attachment which makes us cold hearted. Sometimes it is attachment which makes us cold hearted. When we are attached to something, we feel a lot of emotions in relationship with that particular object. But we feel no emotions in relationship with anyone else. Dhritarashtra, was he detached or was he attached? He's attached. Dhritarashtra, was strongly attached to a king. This is very name itself. Dhritarashtra was so attached to his kingdom. But what happened? That made him so wholehearted that he couldn't even think that actually I am allowing my own nephews to be poisoned, to be killed, to be burned alive. And they are not just my nephews, they are like my children now because they don't have a father. So it is attachment that makes us cold-hearted, not attachment. Attachment can also sometimes make one cold-hearted. But attachment frequently makes one cold-hearted. Everything else. So here, Marija has been a faithful demon follower of Ravana. But Ravana told him, I have not come here for your suggestion. I have come here for your cooperation. If you don't help me, I'll kill you. I will kill you. This is the cold-heartedness of demons.